You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcast by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today's going to be a follow-up on yesterday's show about the shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. What I want to do is really develop the story and get a much larger context for it. Now, if you've been listening to the news, it's all over the news, it's all over television, and I'd like to repeat my sympathies do go out to the families and friends of the 9 people that were shot, killed in Charleston, South Carolina. There's been a lot of speculation today about the killer, or the alleged killer. Remember, he hasn't had a trial, hasn't been convicted, although apparently he has confessed. And that is Dylan Roof. The young man is 21 years of age. I believe he's about 5'9". And what we've learned so far, and this doesn't surprise me at all, he was a drug user. The question is, what drugs was he using? He did get arrested for using drugs, I believe, in February. So there's some criminal record documenting that. But his friends, or at least one that knows him, said he was continually popping pills. And once I learned that, I said, whoa. Every time, almost every time, there's one or two exceptions. We've had a mass shooting, mass killing. There are certain common denominators, one being there are usually young males involved, the shooters. It is in a gun-free zone. Many, if not most, have planned what they're going to do, and it might surprise you, even though they might be on drugs and mentally disturbed or depressed, they actually plan what they're going to do, and they do it. And many times they tell people they're going to do it or thinking about doing it, as did this gentleman or the alleged killer. I think it's more or less open and shut because they have video of the gentleman going into the church. I keep calling him a gentleman. When it's all over, I think he's going to be convicted of murder. But we'll let the jury decide, because there are some facts that need to be developed. And what I'm always interested in cases like this, is the drug use. Because many of the people that engage in these shootings were under the care of a medical doctor, psychiatrist. And the typical treatment for depression, for example, is prescribed drugs. And there are several antidepressant drugs. The one that gets the most attention, and it should get the most attention, they call this category of drugs selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Now, I'm not going to get into how that works. I've done a past show where I did that, but I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a chemist. I'm certainly not a drug user. Matter of fact, I avoid drugs like the plague, and the only ones I really take are for a headache, an aspirin or Tylenol, and for my hay fever, Sudafed. You no longer can get Actifed, so I take Sudafed. And what's always interesting about that, when I go into a drugstore, usually the drugstore I go to is in the grocery store, and I have to go to the pharmacist, even though at one time you could take it off the shelves, both Actifed and Sudafed. Now you got to go to the pharmacist, and you got to show them their license. They treat you like you're some kind of drug dealer. The last time I went in, and I'm just trying to show you the hypocrisy here, I said, give me 2 boxes of your large 96 tablet Sudafed. Now, I usually, 2 boxes will last me a couple of months. But a lot of times I can't go in the day or I have a busy schedule. So I wanted to buy two boxes so I didn't have to go in again. Well, what happened was you can only buy one. And the farmer said, just come back in 2 weeks. We'll sell you another one. I said, all right. But they had to swipe my license and they gave me the drug. Now, I didn't need a prescription. And I don't think you should need a prescription. I try not to take as many as I need, quite frankly, because it can become not addictive, but you can pop them like anytime you have a sneezing spell or start a runny nose, you can start popping them to avoid the symptoms. I basically take them for my hay fever because I do have allergies, mainly hay fever, and it's usually in the fall. And the only reason I was taking them now was because we've had a lot of rain. Now that's an aside or a detour, but I wanted to illustrate that. There are millions of people that have hay fever and take various drugs, some prescribed, some not prescribed, and treatment for it. I remember when I was growing up, I didn't have any medicine to take. Either my family couldn't afford it or there wasn't any. And I had terrible hay fevers when I was in the New York City area. My eyes would itch, my nose would run, and it always came in the fall. And for all practical purposes, I was rather useless during that period. It only lasts typically 4 to 8 weeks, but for those 4 to 8 weeks, I was suffering. And I wish at the time I could have taken some medicine for it. As I recall, there was nothing that my parents could provide for me. I don't know at the time what was available, but this was many years ago. Now, if you're depressed, sad, or depressed, you can go to a psychiatrist, and they can prescribe some medicine that'll make you not be depressed. There's one problem with these medicines. And the group, the SSRI, that's the shorthand way to say selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These drugs do provide help or assistance for many, many people. There's no denying that. And they're really prescribed. And I have some statistics on that. Now, what those are the category of drugs. What are some of the common names? Zoloft, Prozac, Paxil, Lexapro, and others. I have them listed on my companion website for the show, and that's pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And I urge you to go there because I have a lot of additional information that I really cannot and do not have time to cover. But I always say to my listeners, keep an open mind, make up your own mind, and do your homework. In other words, do some research into it. Now, I know a lot of people simply don't have the time. But if you do have the time, what I do provide is some of the information that I have looked at in preparing this show. And that could be photographs, it could be charts, it could be articles, and YouTube videos. And I have a number of YouTube videos here because there are different dimensions to this story that I want to explore. Now, the problem with antidepressants are the side effects. And there are a number of them. And I have a graphic that lists some of them. Anxiety, violent thoughts, violent actions, suicidal thoughts, suicide, criminal behavior, paranoia, psychosis. Under criminal acts, it doesn't list it, but one of them is homicides, killing people. Now, as of yet, and usually it's weeks or months until we find out, we don't really know what drugs, if any, Dylan Roof was taken. Apparently, there's a history here of him taking drugs, though. And the fact that he got arrested and was carrying drugs is a good indicator that that needs to be explored. And was he seeing a doctor? Many of them are. Many of them are not. They're either stealing them or getting them from friends, so-called friends, or taking them from their parents or relatives. And when they become addicted to it, that's when you really get a problem. And these drugs can be very beneficial to a lot of people, but for some people, and especially young people, it can lead to their suicide or to a homicide where they go out shooting people and it's death by cop. In other words, suicide by cop. The police kill the person that's killing the other people. Now, I bring this up for a reason. Roof is being described as a racist, a drug user, mentally disturbed, evil, or a murderer. I would first say he's an individual, and individuals are responsible for their actions. Let me say it again. He's an individual responsible for his actions. So if he chose to take drugs, he's responsible for that. He can always say no. I don't know why he started to take drugs. I really don't. We might never know. usually teenagers, and this probably started when he was a teenager. But again, we don't have the facts yet. We don't want to jump to conclusions, but I'm trying to make a point that one of rather the critical aspects to all these mass shootings is drugs and prescribed drugs. I think I said in the last show, when they pin that down, usually the problem is this. Either they stop taking their drugs, or because they develop a tolerance for a drug, they take more of the drug. And as a result, they have or engage in behavior such as homicides. Does that absolve him from the responsibility? No. He decided, maybe his parents or step-parents decided, that he needed to see a psychiatrist or a medical doctor, and the drugs were prescribed. The problem is, unless it's closely monitored, both by the parents and the doctor, and even the individual, those side effects will manifest themselves. And then it's rather critical that he be taken off the drugs. Now, I'm emphasizing drugs for a reason. Is that what you're hearing about in the news? Yeah, they'll mention it. But if you listen to the president, the problem is guns. Mr. President, the problem isn't guns, and you know it. You, if anyone, should know it. You admit taking drugs. And I have a video where you're admitting it, and drinking, and engaging in behavior that you shouldn't have done. You were the lucky ones. You didn't get hooked on these SSRIs. If you did, you might not be alive today. My point being, don't jump to conclusions that it's guns. It's not guns. Guns were just the weapon. It could have been a knife. It could have been a bomb. It could have been a baseball bat. Weapons are inanimate objects. They don't walk in and kill people. People kill people. That's a cliche, but you have to ask, why did a person for most of his life had a clean criminal record until this year and suddenly walks into a church in cold blood, kills 9 people, leaves one, he thought only one, alive, makes a very racist statement that he needed to kill the blacks because they were raping women, white women. Why did he do it that day? That's extreme behavior under anyone's, no matter how you look at it. No normal person would even think about it, much less do it. But when you look at those cases of mass murders where multiple victims, in other words, more than three victims, whether it's a shooting that resulted in a homicide or a shooting that resulted in wounded people, one of the most common by far factor is drugs, in particular these antidepressant, there are different names for it. Antidepressant drugs, prescribed drugs, is probably the most common. The other is, and I'm scrolling down because I've gotten psychotropic drugs. Yes, psychotropic drugs is another, but you know them by their brand names. And that's why I gave the three most popular are Zoloft, Prozac, Paxil, but you have others. And I'm not picking on any brands. It's just that's what's prescribed. That's what's, and you can see the statistics. I have some statistics in terms of the number of prescriptions in the hundreds of thousands. And the common thing, they're not all SSRIs. Some are TCAs. Not going to get into the details. That the point I'm trying to make is, why aren't we seeing news stories on the connection to drugs, in particular prescribed drugs? You see, the pharmaceutical companies spend a lot of money in advertising, but also convincing doctors that these drugs can treat various psychological disorders. And everything has become a psychological disorder. You know, I have a list of psych meds and school shootings and which drugs were involved and the number killed. It's very, very revealing. It's not just SSRIs. There are other drugs that can do this, have similar or identical side effects. Yet the political class, in particular the Democratic Party and our president, they want to ban guns. They think guns are the problem. People are the problem. Prescribed drugs as well as illegal drugs are the problem. That is what needs to be talked about. That is what needs to be explored. We need a national conversation on this. Are we going to get one? No. Oh, a few talk show hosts on commercial radio. For example, Michael Savage comes to mind, but there are others that are aware of this. We'll emphasize this, as will I. This came, I did a show, I don't know exactly when, it must have been at least a year ago, when one of these when we had another mass shooting. And I need to say this, they're not that common. That's what I would like to emphasize. You would think they're happening every week. No, they're not happening every week. But when they do happen, you can almost list, it's going to probably be a young man, either a teenager and someone in his 20s. It's going to be in a gun-free zone, usually a school or college, but it could be in a public place that bans guns, a so-called gun-free zone. And almost, so those are the two, they look for easy targets, gun-free zones, and they're rational. They plan it. There's premeditation here. They thought about it. It just didn't, they didn't just snap and go in. They thought about it. And that seems to be the case here very much. It wasn't just like he was driving down the street, saw a church, walked in, sat down, and then started shooting. No, he thought about it, planned it, and was ready to execute it. And he did. But then, and it's usually later that it comes out, that they were on antidepressant drugs, and more specifically, SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And I have a picture of some of the more common ones. Prozac is a nice green, olive green color. Zoloft is a orange, and Paxil is pink. I don't know what drug Dylan Roof was on. They said it was a drug used to treat people to get off of other drugs. Maybe that's the case, but it needs to be a little bit more specific than that and what type it was and what did it do. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people taking these drugs. And the problem is many of them don't have problems with it because they don't take it that long. But many do, but still don't commit suicide or homicides. But there's still thousands across the world, not just in the United States. Many you don't hear about because they're suicides. They become suicidal and some carry it out. And then we have the few that get in the news because they kill others. This gentleman didn't kill himself. He wasn't caught in the act and he fled, but was captured. Supposedly, he wanted to start a race war. Now, I have no idea why he thought he could start a race war. But when your mind is twisted on drugs, he thought he was going to start a race war. Well, the race war hasn't started, even though we have a president and his propagandist, Reverend Rat Al Sharpton, that are trying to cause trouble in the communities. Remember what a community organizer is, folks. He's an outside agitator. He's a troublemaker. Many of them try to shake down businesses. That's what they're about. And what happened in Ferguson? They didn't shake down businesses. They burned down businesses when the false narrative that we had a racist cop, a white cop, by the way, shot a black in the back, which wasn't true. But that was the false narrative. That's another way to say a lie, a big lie, that was perpetrated in that community and in the United States. And the media, many in the media were responsible for that. It was a fabrication from start to finish, and the attorney general went to Ferguson. The police officer resigned. He didn't have to resign, but he had enough of it. I don't blame him at all for resigning. He was attacked by a large black teenager about ready to go to college that was smoking, yes, marijuana. It was in his blood. And he had just come from a convenience store where he had stolen small cigars that are used to smoke marijuana. And he roughed up the manager. Yet the narrative that went out in the media was this is a racist cop that shot a black in the back when it never happened. And there were witnesses to that effect. And this black man attacked teenager, the gentle giant, attacked the cop in his car, tried to get his gun, tried to shoot the cop, fled, then turned around and tried to charge the cop, and that's when he got killed. Was he on drugs? Most likely. He wanted to get those cigars to smoke some more marijuana. You see, that's what's never mentioned in all this or emphasized. It's the drug angle. Now, I'm not saying that as an excuse. And I'll emphasize, if you're an individual, you're responsible for your actions. And if you commit crimes, you are going to be prosecuted. But what about people that, in good faith, know they have some psychological issues? Either their parents or they go to a doctor seeking medical help. That's doing the responsible thing. And the doctor prescribes this medication. And then after many weeks or months of use, the person gets addicted to it and gets tolerant. In all drugs, what happens is you become tolerant of the drug, which means to have an effect, you have to have a higher dosage and invariably start taking higher dosages, either at the doctor's direction or on their own. Many are simply not aware of the side effects or ignore them. And you got to understand their side effects. Or what you'll see on the advertising on television, you've seen it, they read it rather fast. What are the side effects? Anxiety, violent thoughts, violent actions, suicidal thoughts, suicide, criminal behavior, such as homicide, assaults, paranoia, and psychosis. So while the individual is responsible for his actions, in many cases, there are extenuating circumstances, namely, the side effects of the drugs are triggering and causing this behavior. Many times the parents are trying to tell the doctor, you need to get him off this stuff. He's behaving rather strangely. You need to be very proactive. But I know what many people are like. They rely on their whatever their doctor says is gospel. I'm not that way. I challenge doctors, especially when they tell me, you need to take this medication the rest of your life. I say, excuse me? What I need to do is lose weight so I don't have the problem. I don't need to take the medication for life. I'm talking high blood pressure here. I had an episode, and it was an episode. I had a toothache, a rather severe toothache. And I went to the dentist, and the dentist took my blood pressure, and it was high. But I told her, it's high because I'm in pain. And I was in pain. Probably the worst, not the worst toothache, but one of the worst toothaches I ever had. And I wanted taken care of, and she refused. Why? Because in the last year or so, someone died in a dentist that had high blood pressure. So all the dentists in the Dallas area were freaked out about that. So they would take your blood pressure, and if it was a little bit elevated, oh, we can't do anything for you. So I went to see a doctor. He says, yeah, you have, and he says, yeah, it's probably the toothache. I'll give you some medication that brought it right down, and then I could get the dental work. But then he was trying to convince me, well, you do have a weight problem. I admitted I had a weight problem. That was my addiction is food. I like to eat. So I said, well, if I get back to what I should be, normal weight, should that really reduce the high blood pressure? The answer is yes, it will. See, I do a lot of research on my own. And because this drug was quite expensive, I stopped taking it. I religiously checked my blood pressure, though. For long periods of time, every week I would have it checked. I know that what I should do, again, personal responsibility here, is lose weight. And that's been difficult for me because I go up and down. But I know I need to address that problem. Because if I address that problem, any episodes of high blood pressure will go away. And I'm going to feel better. So there are benefits of being normal weight. I was reading a headline that today more Americans are obese than overweight. That's not good news, folks. If you're looking for the number one health problem in America is people are overweight. This gentleman that did the homicides was not overweight, but he was taking drugs. Whether legal or illegal, I don't know. You don't know. But that needs to be addressed. Oh, you can call him a racist. Many are. Or mentally disturbed. I think that's clear. He is mentally disturbed. Evil. Yes. But what drove it? What drove him to it? And I'm not absolving him of personal responsibility. Not at all. We need a conversation as to the real causes of these mass shootings. Because if you look at them, not all, but most of these cases involve prescribed drugs. Prozac, Zoloft, Ritalin, and I have a graphic that just shows some of the cases and the number of people killed. What we really need is a chart showing all the suicides, because many of these people commit suicide at a very young age, and that is the true tragedy, because parents usually are trying to help their children get medical help, and when they do, what happens today, and talk to anyone that's gone to medical school, the answer to almost, for most conditions, is prescribe some medication. I'm not against taking medication if it can be truly shown that the medication addresses either the symptoms or the underlying problem. But when you have serious side effects, that's not only going to affect the person, but other people, then I think the burden of proof should be on the drug companies that their medication actually has more benefit than harm. And that's a debatable subject. Like I said, the reason why doctors prescribe all these medications is for the majority of people, it's no problem. Or at least we don't know it's a problem. And they get off of it. Unfortunately, there is going to be people that commit suicide and commit homicides. And society needs to be alerted to the problem. And we need to discuss it. Not blame inanimate objects. He could have killed people with his car or truck. Just run them over. He chose to use a pistol. And 9 people are dead. Their families and friends are in mourning. The community in Charleston is trying to come together. Yet what are our politicians doing? They're blaming inanimate objects. From a president who has a history, an admitted history, of abusing drugs and alcohol. But that's not uncommon amongst teenagers and young men and women in their 20s. I fortunately did not smoke, didn't do illegal drugs, but I went to college, and usually every week there was a party. And guess what? Beer was consumed, and I consumed my fair share of it. I didn't drink during the week. I certainly didn't drink on Sundays. But on Friday, Saturday nights, if there was a party, I had my fair share. Sometimes more than my fair share. But that's common. And fortunately, I didn't drive. So I could sleep it off. Or if I got sick from it, I could vomit. But unfortunately, some people, alcohol is their drug of choice. And they become alcoholics. I know. I work for someone that was truly an alcoholic. He started at lunch and he drank till he passed out in bed. And he ran a business. He was very, very successful. But he was a mean drunk. The more he drank, the meaner he got. In the mornings, he was very nice. But towards late afternoon, not so nice. But he was successful. I don't know what ever happened to him. He didn't expect to live that long because he knew he had a problem. He did have a problem. And if you talk to him, it started when he was a teenager. And yes, he also used drugs. The true victims here are the families and friends of the people this person killed. And eventually, and hopefully, Dylan Roof will realize what he's done. Maybe not. I don't know. I believe it was his stepmother who was blaming the internet. He went to his room and was always on the internet. Well, I'm on the internet a lot, preparing shows. I don't know what Dylan Roof was looking at. Probably pornography. Probably drugs, movies. But somewhere, he got hooked on drugs. And once he started down that path, it led to that church where he walked in and shot 9 people. The United States, the people of the United States, the people of Charleston, are not soon going to forget this. But over time, that's what happens. What's disappointing is the leadership not looking at this problem and trying to do something about it, if something can be done about it. Part of it is just educating people. But this drug connection is a billion-dollar industry. And the drug companies advertise. And we'll attack those that bring up these side effects. Even though it's almost undeniable, not in all cases, but in many cases, there's a pattern of usage of these drugs. And it's clear that the side effects manifested themselves. We need a national conversation on this. Now, there's another aspect to this story that also needs to be explored. There was something very, very unusual about this shooting that really has not been commented upon, but needs to be commented upon. If you go to the FBI crime statistics, and I have one chart that shows, and let me see if I can blow it up, and I can. Ah, that's terrific. Near the top, I have the crime in the United States for 2013, and these are from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Criminal Justice Information Services Division. They put out a report every year that gives a wealth of information on various categories of crime. Now, I pulled up a graphic on homicide data. It's called Table 6. And it provides the race of the victims, as well as what they call the race of the offender. Now, what you'll see is most homicides, it's the same race. Let me give you an example. Whites, white victims, 3,005, a total of 3,005 whites were homicides in 2013. The victims were. The offenders, over 2,500, 2,509 were white offenders. And that's the typical situation. Does that mean all whites were killed just by whites? No. 409 were, the offenders were black. And there's a few other and unknown. But the overwhelming majority, it's white on white. The same is true with black or African American victims. There were 2,491 black victims, and that's important, of which 2,245, the offender was black, more than 90%. How many whites killed blacks? 189 white offenders killed a black victim. So the common denominator here is whites kill whites, blacks kill blacks. Police understand this, the FBI understands it, I understand it. But there's something else going on. There are just under 6,000 homicides in 2013. They have other races and they have unknowns, but it's under 6,000. More than half are white victims, but that's not surprising. I don't know the exact statistic, but about 75% of the population of the United States are whites. Now, I know the number's been going down, and I'll get an update if I'm wrong on that. So I'm not surprised that over half of the victims were white, and not quite half the offenders were white. Now, here is the important thing that's overlooked. Blacks represent slightly less than 13% of the population, yet more than three times that rate is what their responsibility, the offenders are black. Somewhere between 40 and 50%, it varies from year to year. The offenders were black and the victims were black. In other words, in terms of the percentage of the population, a disproportionate amount of the crime in the United States is done by blacks to other blacks. That's the conversation that is not had. And we need a national conversation. Why are so many young black males, and most of these offenders are males, some females, but predominantly male, are killing other blacks? It's black on black crime, over 90%, and it's not just homicide. It's assault, it's rape. A disproportionate amount of the crime is black on black crime, where both the offender and the victim are black. That's what needs to be emphasized and explored. Why? Why is there such a problem with young black men attacking other blacks? Part of it is gangs, but it's also drugs. There's that, the D word again, drugs. When you're having problem finding a job and you're trying to earn money, and if you join a gang, it's very tempting to take the next step and start selling, and in some cases using, drugs, because they're very profitable. Illegal drugs are profitable. That's why after 40 years of a war on drugs, there are more drugs on the street than ever, and the reason is the money. It's big money. Crime is profitable. If you make drugs illegal, then if you sell illegal drugs, you make a lot of money. There's a lot of demand for it, as our president knows. I'm not accusing him of selling it, but he obviously was using it. He admitted he was using it, had to get it someplace, and it was illegal. We're not talking alcohol here, but alcohol is by far the bigger problem. Cigarettes and alcohol, especially cigarettes, they're real addictive, as the president has that problem too. I'm picking on the president for a reason. He should know better. He's addicted to cigarette smoking. And he was young, he was addicted, or at least engaged in consuming both alcohol and illegal drugs, marijuana, and who knows what else. He admits it. Good for him. At one time, if you admit that, you could forget about a career in politics. Now, yes, Bill Clinton said, I never inhaled. But he is a liar, like our president. I never heard of anyone that didn't inhale. I tried cigarettes, I think, two or three times, and I couldn't stand them, and I didn't smoke. I hate smoking. But that's just me. A lot of people like it, and I understand that. My father was a smoker, addicted to smoking. Fortunately for him, he did eventually quit, I believe, in his 50s. And he quit like that. Why? His good friend died. That also was a smoker. See, at one time in my father's generation, as well as when I was growing up, smoking was cool. You were cool if you smoked. They even had a cigarette called Cools. So what happened is a whole generation got hooked on smoking. Many of them when they joined the Army for World War II. My father was the World War II generation. And cigarettes were readily available. And if you look at pictures, people are smoking. In the 40s, 50s, even into the 60s, people smoked all the time. Fortunately for me, I hated the smoke. I hated the smell. Didn't do anything for me, so I left it alone. I was fortunate. But there are other people that got hooked. Some of them fairly famous. Some are talk show hosts. I can think of several that will admit that they were smokers. Now they tend to go to cigars or food. Now they're addicted to food. They go on and on about other people's addiction when they are a glowing example that all they really did was switch their drug of choice to food. Fortunately for them, they don't get arrested for being obese or overweight, and they have trouble, they have big troubles kicking their habit. They like food, they eat a lot of food. Some still also drink alcohol. See, I'm not trying to be self-righteous here. I think we have to confront the fact that people are human beings, and throughout history, people have sought either relief from pain or have sought pleasure in the consumption of various substances, including food, including alcohol or wine, beer, as well as a whole host of drugs, and cigarettes. When they explored, discovered America, it was already there, and brought back tobacco. Human beings are not going to change their nature. They're going to seek pleasure by either drinking, smoking, or consuming various substances. It's their responsibility. That's an individual choice. But they have to take responsibility when their choice results in consequences that hurts or kills other people. So when you decide to take drugs that have side effects, serious side effects, I understand maybe you're depressed. Maybe you have what psychiatrists call a disorder. They try to make everything a disorder today. And then they prescribe drugs. And for many people, it works. Unfortunately, some people become addicted to it and have serious side effects from taking it. And that's when it becomes dangerous, not only for themselves and their family, because many of these either commit suicide, or if they start killing people, who do you think they kill first? Usually it's their mother, father, grandmother, grandfather. People that in the past they might have loved, but because of the medications they're taking, they have a compulsion to kill. That's a tragedy. All around it's a tragedy. Obviously, if they get caught, they spend usually the rest of their life in jail, and their loved ones are dead, and they have to remember that. And many of them, I'm sure, are wondering, what possessed me to do that? The answer is the drugs. What I'm trying to say is society has to address this problem because it is very much a societal problem. And drugs simply are not the answer for every problem that an individual has. And there are alternatives. But wherever you're dealing with something that's in large demand, it's going to be profitable, whether it's legal or illegal, to sell the drugs. The drug companies are in the business of manufacturing products that people want, and they're very convincing to the doctors that these medications or drugs can help a lot of people, and the doctors go along with it. What the doctors need to understand, they have a responsibility to their patients as well as them to themselves to check out the research. Do they have time? I understand most of them don't. They rely on the representations of the large drug companies that have a strong incentive to downplay the side effects. Does that mean they don't disclose them? No, they're required to disclose it. The problem is, this is an area that I'm not really for much government regulation, but this is an area that cries out for regulation. It's one thing to have a side effect where no one gets permanently injured, whether it's the patient or the parents, friends, relatives of the person taking the drug. It's quite another matter when the person taking the drugs commits suicide or kills his loved ones or goes to schools or gun-free zones and kills his friends or people that were just there, such as what happened in Charleston this week. It's a tragedy. But it's a tragedy that keeps repeating itself. It's not that often that these occur. But when they do occur, I'm tired of politicians of both parties blaming guns when guns are not the issue. It's drugs, ladies and gentlemen. But ultimately, it's individual responsibility. I don't think you can just blame the drug companies or the psychiatrists or the doctors. They're trying to provide a product that helps millions of people. But like with any product, there are always going to be limitations and there are always going to be unintended consequences, what we call side effects, that need to be kept in mind and need to be really examined, and people need to be aware of it. And that's why I'm really doing this show, to make you aware of it. You'd be surprised how many people simply are not aware of it. And it's not just SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, such as Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil. There are many other drugs. Many other drugs. And remember, and I repeat this, psychosis, paranoia, criminal behavior, suicide, suicidal thoughts, violent actions, violent thoughts, anxiety. I don't want any of these symptoms. Who wants any of these symptoms? But many, and really most, of the offenders, the people committing the crimes, these mass shootings and homicides, are on these drugs or other drugs. They are ultimately responsible for their actions. But we need a national discussion and really an investigation. And I'm not going to expect it from the mass media, so-called mainstream media. Why do I say that? I remember I did a little exercise for a course on communications. And we had to listen to one of the networks of our choice for 30 minutes. And list the advertisement, the length, and the subject of the ads. And this has been a while ago, so my memory is a little fuzzy, but I still remember, well, two things that struck me. One was the ads got shorter and shorter. At one time, you'd have minute ads or 30-second ads, but surprisingly, many of the ads were for 15 seconds. 15 seconds to get a message out. Now, in advertising, the key is repetition, repetition, repetition. So one of the conclusions I came to was most ads today are 15 or 30-second ads. Now, this didn't surprise me. A lot of the ads were for food. Remember, people are overweight. The American people are overweight. Actually, they're obese. And I've noticed this. I'm on a college campus. Now, when I was young, I was not overweight or obese. Now, there were a few people that were, but it wasn't common. Today, on any high school or college campus, you'll be surprised how many overweight students there are. But don't stop there. Look at the adults. America has become a nation of fat people. Some are just a little bit overweight, but most are overweight and obese. They're huge. Why do you think that? Well, if you listen to television, you're going to see a lot of advertising. It's restaurants, various types of food. There are also a lot of commercials for drugs. And they always were the longest because they had to give a disclosure that they read rather quickly. It was on the screen. You see, we are influenced by those communications, those advertisements. It's propaganda. It's propaganda to sell a product or service. And the third category was for the financial services. When I was doing this exercise, gold was the big average. It seemed that at least every, let's say, one out of four commercials had a some way deal with gold or financial services. Now, I give you that background for a reason. Don't you think those messages are effective? I certainly think they are. And they do have consequences. People go out and buy those products. Because if they didn't buy it, do you think the businesses would continue advertising? You see, advertising works. When it's done well, advertising works. That's why for years before cigarette advertising were banned, and you go on YouTube and look at some of the older shows, they promoted smoking. The people would smoke, interviewers would smoke while they were interviewing people. And they said, this show is brought to you by Name the Cigarette Brand. Now, you don't see that anymore. And you also, and you still do, have beer commercials. What needs to change, if we're really serious about stopping or at least diminishing the number of these mass shootings and mass homicides, is a frank, honest discussion and investigation as to what are the common factors involved. It's not hard to do. I don't have a research staff. I research, prepare this show on my own. But I can tick off the common elements. Young males, usually teenagers in the 20s, most likely using drugs, many of them with psychiatric or psychological, however you want to describe it, disorders. They have some mental issues. Some would say they're mentally disturbed. Some are, some aren't. And they're being treated by doctors. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they're taking these types of drugs, SSRIs being one of the major categories. And there's a whole list of products, companies that have their brand. I just gave you a few. There are many more, and they're different types of drugs. We need this conversation. We're not having it because I think there's a lot of money involved. The drug companies don't want the conversation. Actually, your television networks really don't want it because they got a lot of advertising from those drug companies. And the President of the United States doesn't want to admit that the real problem is not guns. The real problem is we have human beings that are mentally disturbed, and when you look deeper, it's usually related to drugs, either legal or illegal. The same drugs, in many cases, that he was using when he was young. It's not a new problem. It's a continuing problem. I'm tired of the political elite trying to take the American people's Second Amendment right to hold and bear arms. The American people have that right because they are being attacked by the criminal element in the United States. They have the right to protect themselves, their family, their friends, their property from criminals engaged in all sorts of crime, from robbery to rape to assault. They need to be able to defend themselves. And more importantly, and the reason behind the Second Amendment, they also need to defend themselves from tyrants that want to take their guns away. That is the first thing that the collectivist state, whether it be the Nazis, the communists, the socialists, do, is try to take the people's guns away. Why? Because then only the government or the criminals have the guns, and the people don't. In other words, the people become defenseless against both the criminals and the government. And gun-free zones is the preferred targets of criminals. They know in gun-free zones, most, if not all, the people there are unarmed. And when they go into a store, place of business, where there's not a security guard at the door, they know that few, if any, people will be armed. And that's what happened in Charleston. This individual planned to go into that church. He knew it was a gun-free zone. And the drugs that he was using, together with what he was looking at on the internet, convinced them that he needed to kill 9 blacks because they were raping white women. Where he got that idea, who knows? Is he a murderer? I think he is. And a jury will make that decision. I'm not going to make that decision. What I'm calling for is a frank and honest conversation about what's going on here. And the second part of that conversation has to do with black-on-black crime, because the victims of young blacks killing, raping, insulting are primarily blacks. And that's the problem that I would expect a black president to address. And he avoids it. He avoids it. He tries to go after people's guns, even though he knows it's not a popular issue. A matter of fact, it hurts him and it hurts his party. It's not a popular issue because the American people want to defend themselves from the nutcases, from the drug users, from the drug dealers, from the criminal class, and yes, their own government. With that, I'll close my show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcast by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio.